Welcome to Useful Creator, where full-time professionals become confident, consistent, skillful video creators. Today, I'm talking with Kendall St. Louis, an entrepreneur who has built one of the leading janitorial and facility management companies in Trinidad and Tobago, with over 200 employees and serving top-tier clients across multiple industries. But Kendall didn't stop there. He saw something that most business owners overlook: the power of content. He's now the founder and host of a fast-growing podcast, the owner of a rising media company, and a creator whose videos inspire thousands on platforms like LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok. In this episode, we're going to learn why a business leader in janitorial services decided to go all in on content creation, how creating motivational content, not cleaning tips, transformed his personal brand, what Kendall has learned about building authority through video and podcasts, and how every entrepreneur can use content to attract opportunities they never thought possible. This is going to be a powerful conversation about business, branding, and why creating content might be the best decision you make this year. I'm your host, Juma Bannister. Let's make useful content.
You're looking at your watch. That's the first thing.
No.
This is a busy fella, you know.
Yes, you know that.
This is a busy fella. This is a busy fella. So Kendall, it's really, really great to talk with you today. I actually come here to do a job, to shoot some corporate portraits. We had some time left over, and I suggested to you that we just can record a podcast.
And I'm all game.
Yeah, and it just, you know, amazingly, or not amazingly, depending on how much you know Kendall, you said yes, right?
Yeah.
And you shifted some things around, so now we're having this conversation.
Correct.
And so here's the deal. I want to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
What's happening here, because you were not always inside of media and content creation in this way.
That's correct.
So let's talk a bit about that. Let's talk about what your original business was and then why they pivot. So explain to the people what your original business was.
Right. So about 15 years ago, I would have started a facility services company, which our core business is janitorial services. And basically that business grew very quickly and took a lot of hard work, a lot of consistency. It had a lot of down times, right? But it is where it is now today. We have approximately 200 plus employees and number of clients. And I always had a love for podcasts, like podcasting in terms of just talking about your life, right? I used to look at a podcast in the UK called Three Shots of Tequila. And they used to just talk about random things going on in their lives, going on in the industry. And I was like, we have conversations like this already with my peers. And I would have also, when this started, would have been around COVID time. And, you know, that period was when everybody were at home and everybody was looking at videos. That time is when video content flourished. So for me, as having Latinx at that point in time, I had to hire a videographer to come and do video ads, right? And I was excited to do it. I was, my first video was cringe, but I was not somebody who shied away from doing anything out of the ordinary. So did a couple of videos, and then the price I was being charged, I was like, maybe I should buy my own camera. Bought the camera now, but then, you know, you learn in COVID, you had to learn how to use the camera, as y'all were just mentioning there, the exposure and all these different terminology. So it's not really my thing. I wanted to learn how to use the camera. I went and did a photography course, learned a little bit about using the videos, and then it really still wasn't my thing, right? So then I had to get a videographer. So that's when I reached out to Mark, because I know Mark used to do that. And we started recording videos right at the office. Like after work, we're talking general conversations. And then there was one video that we did that I actually posted on WhatsApp. And it was a conversation between, it was three of us, two guys, one woman, And we were talking about just relationships, right? And we were given our two cents on how we think a relationship should work. And she was given her thinking from a female point of view. And she had good points. It was funny. I recorded it, posted it up on WhatsApp. And I had so much corporate clients that I realized were given their two cents on the conversation. And I was like, wait, maybe we have something here. Because in my mind, I was thinking, you're very corporate. And why are you interested in this type of conversation? I mean, it had no cursing or anything, but it was just like real life dialogue. And I said, listen, I think we need to make this something a little more professional. And that's where we started the podcast. So we brought the professional cameras, the lights, everything, and we started recording. It wasn't a well-kept space like this. It started just back at the office. And then we started posting the content on Instagram, and boy, the traction grew so quickly. Like, people started sharing it. Like, we gained like about 1,000 followers in a space of a week. And that's when I realized we had something gold and decided to invest more into this industry by getting more equipment, more cameras, more lights, more audio equipment. And while doing that, I figured that we should have a dedicated space, yeah, more professional, and something that could appeal to as well corporate sponsors in terms of seeing that, hey, these people have invested in this and it's very professional. It's something that we could partner with. And that's where this space came, yeah, right? And we outfitted it, and here it is today. And I mean, being the entrepreneur that I am, I decided that it should be something we use as well as something we could gain revenue from. So that's why it comes into play, where someone can come and rent the space to use the cyclorama to do photography. They could come and rent to do their own podcast. And I mean, here it is today, about a year and a half later. And it also complements our other businesses, because we use the equipment to generate content for those other businesses. And as you know, content is king for any business. In any business around right now, you need to have some sort of social media presence, and it's not just static ads anymore. It has to be video that is engaging, that targets your target audience.
Yeah. It's interesting. So in the story you told, you talked about how this thing kind of came about because you saw that video was working.
Yeah.
But the subject matter that you were talking about wasn't precisely what you do.
Correct. Right?
And I remember one of the things that I looked at your content, we connected on LinkedIn, and one of the things I looked at your content and recognized is that a lot of the stuff that you share is more inspirational.
Rather than
about, well, this 10 ways how you clean.
Or
things of that nature. Yeah. Is that deliberate in terms of how you create the content for social media?
For me, not everybody likes cleaning, I would say. I mean, it's something necessary, something that we need to do every day of our lives and in our space, whether it be cars, whether it be at home, whether it be office. But I think I needed something that everybody can relate to, and simple, as you would have mentioned there, how the inspirational, motivational, I felt like that was the easiest way to tap into an audience to, what's the right word I'm looking for to get noticed, right? So that I'm in your mind, basically. So for instance, I grew a big following on LinkedIn, and sometimes I go places and people know me from LinkedIn, but I don't know who they are, right? And they always say, oh, and look at your motivational content. And I'm known for that from on the LinkedIn platform. So, I mean, it was intentional, right? Because I did feel like the cleaning works to a certain extent, but it doesn't appeal to a wider audience.
Yeah. So was your strategy trying to capture the widest audience possible, and then turning that into people who you could then...
So in between, at times you may get a little bit of like an ad, something from the business or one of the businesses. I might squeeze in something, but I don't really throw it in your face constantly.
Right.
The only platform that I have that you may get more of like the real aspect of what we do. I try to put that more into my personal Instagram and TikTok, and then I trickle it down to the branches of the companies so that you'll see the Latinx Media, you'll see the Latinx Limited, you'll see me or anybody else advertising or educating on what that business is based on.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk a bit about the companies, since you mentioned that. How many companies that you are running right now?
Boy, a lot. a lot. If I still don't answer the count, it's going to be a lot. But really and truly, the core ones, I would say, would be the Latinx Limited. We have the Latinx Media and...
Some
I can't say on camera.
One that is secret, you don't want this to know about
some
it.
Some I'm silent. Silent owner. Yeah, so,
all right, that's...
But yeah, it's a lot. But what I would say it is, for me, is a matter of diversification, because I see how saturated certain markets can get. Mm-hmm. And then I see the opportunities in other markets as well. Yeah. So for me, it's just a matter of tapping into and providing a service that people could use, as well as getting a revenue stream from those businesses. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, how has content played into developing those businesses, considering the fact that you have moved from text and static into video now? So you have Latinx Media, which obviously naturally lends itself to creating video content.
Correct.
But then you have the other businesses. How is video playing a role in those businesses now?
Boy, video is key, boy. If I'm being honest with you, a lot of new clients that we attain, like recently I was looking at some emails that we got RFQs from some clients that we would have tried to reach out to by doing cold calling and whatnot, and you're not getting any headway. And it's amazing that we're not pre-qualified with these people, and these people are actually sending us, not pre-qualification packages, but the request for quotations for services that I would like to provide for them. And I mean, for me, just the opportunity is appreciated for me, because I just want the opportunity to bid, at least. Yes. That's what I like, right? So it's amazing that in my mind, I haven't asked, but it could only be one way you know of us. It has to be based out of our social media. You're probably scrolling on your phones, you see an ad, you see one of our videos, it probably resonated with you, you probably said, hey, right? So for me, I know it works. It probably works a bit slower in certain of the industries that we have. But I know it works. Once you put the content out there, people will see it. It for whatever reason, it magically reaches the audience it needs to reach. Because, I mean, we know the algorithm works. I was talking about something in academics yesterday, and it showed up on my Instagram feed this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just scary, talking about that yesterday.
It's a little stalkeristic, right? It's a little scary.
So I know a client might be talking about, whether it be photography, videography, or anything in the cleaning industry, aid or cleaning, janitorial services, they might mention it, and then the next day you might see something from us come up, because that's just how the algorithm works.
Is there any story you can remember that shows exactly that somebody saw a piece of your content,
right,
or you can connect that to like some outcome that somebody has had? Like, I know you mentioned that in general, people who come to you may have seen the content. But can you remember any story where somebody said, hey, you know, Kendall, I saw this piece of content.
Yeah.
And I want to reach out to you for this. It may not have converted, but is there any story like that you can remember?
We have a client. They have a dental office. And we would do the video creation, and I also write these scripts, right? I'd like to think I'm somewhat good with the script writing, right? And there's a particular line that we use in their video scripts where we talk about smiling with confidence, right? And it was amazing that they had a patient, and the patient would have came in and they would have mentioned the exact line that, hey, I want to smile with confidence again. right? So the doctor would have mentioned that to me, and I mean that was a line that we use in the videos because it appeals to that target audience who may not be that person being able to smile again. So that resonated with me. It showed that, hey, sometimes you feel when you now start content creation, or even sometimes on the journey, sometimes you think people not watching, people not noticing, but you never know who is seeing and observing. You never know. You just never know.
Yeah, that's so real. That's so real because it's true. Sometimes you might have a thought about, oh, you're doing all this work, putting out all this content, and what is the results? But then you talk to somebody and they mention something.
They mention it to you.
They say back to you the thing you've been saying. When that happens to you, how does that make you feel?
No, it makes you feel proud. You finally feel like, hey, people seeing, boy. You understand? I mean, you get the high from it, and it's be like, oh, okay. And I mean, it gives you that boost. You feel to go and do our next video.
Right.
You understand? Yeah.
Okay, so tell us the story. We're sitting in the studio right now. We're actually on the psych and the psychorama. Maybe the wide shot might be able to show that. So tell us the story about this space. And because you showed me earlier that it was literally just a blank canvas.
It was up there. Yes.
So after you were convinced that video would work and you decided to create this space, what was the process like to set this up?
It was expensive. But Mark, the videographer, would have had the expertise in the layouts because he would have utilized other studios and he would have brought those ideas together. We would have had a designer come in and we started designing the layout of the space. We got the costing for everything. We decided what we wanted to offer, what we could do, right? Knowing that, hey, our space is one that you walk up to. Right, and we basically started getting the work together. I was more proud of the podcast space area because I felt like, hey, it's a space that not only is home to our podcast, Die Good Talk, but it also can be a home to somebody else who wants to start up a podcast, who wants to do an interview style. And that was something happy for me because even along this journey, I've utilized studios abroad. I utilized studios in the US, studios in the UK, and I saw how they have their layouts, how they do their process. And basically, it's almost similar because a lot of podcasters just rent a space.
Yeah.
So you'll usually see the same setup, same background, everything. What might just change might just be the logo at the end, whether it be your brand logo or some type of emblem that might be on the desk or chair or in the background to separate your podcast from somebody else's. Mm-hmm. You understand? So, I mean, yeah, we have a setup like this in Trinidad that anybody globally, internationally, if you come here, you could always just rent it if you need to do interviews and whatnot.
Yeah. So when you were creating the space, what was the one thing you were unwilling to compromise on?
Basically, we couldn't compromise on the song dampening, as Mark would normally say. Because, I mean, even the audio room, I think I showed you there. We have all the sponges on the wall to ensure that the song stays contained, right? And, I mean, some of the song dampeners that we had here, because room wasn't built in a day. We didn't have everything immediately. Right, so we finished what we could finish and then we started adding on to improve as we went along. As with any business and with life, you do what you could do and then you build gradually going along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so one thing I noticed about this space is that, oh, by the way, for people who don't know, like Landneck is Kendall backwards, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So yeah. For some people who don't know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everybody who were wondering about what was Landneck?
Yeah.
So it's just your name backwards, which is very genius.
Correct.
I realized that everything is well labeled.
Right. Yes. As you mentioned that. Yeah.
Right. So how important is that for the functionality of the space itself?
It makes it easier for our guests to know where anything is. So, you know where the makeup room is, where the bathroom is, where the kitchen is, where the podcast space is. So that even if someone's not here and you just get access to the space, right, you could function in a sense, right? And I mean, it's the same layout as we have with the equipment and the lights, everything. We have everything laid out. Everything is laid out and labeled. So it's easy for anybody. So even if I'm not here, whoever will be opening up or closing could find and they can maneuver.
Right.
Yeah.
And what does it take in terms of manpower to, and woman power too? Do you want to lead the ladies out to run a space like this? Is it something that is labor intensive, or is something that basically you can put just a minimal amount of
amount is not labor intensive. That is the good thing about it. Yeah, that's a great thing about it. Compared to cleaning is labor intensive, trust me. And I mean, you can get overwhelmed sometimes dealing with humans. It can become overwhelming, right? But yeah, that's the brilliance of this space. It's not labor intensive.
All right. So let's now move on to a little bit to how you promoted the space.
Right.
And the fact that many people who know about this space would have seen some version of a video online somewhere. Where has been your number one place to promote this space?
Well, at first when we did the launch, we would have invited a couple influencers from social media.
Is that the same image that you have on the website?
Then we would have started to use the regular channels, which would be the Instagram and the TikTok, right? We working on utilizing the Google ads pretty soon, but really and truly, what I've realized lately is it is a hidden gem in South Trinidad. A lot of people come, as you as well came, and your client came, and it was like, oh, I didn't even know this was right here. And she was passing here almost every day, right? So I realized that with ads, and especially on social media platforms, consistency is key, right? You might run for a month and not think that you're getting any traction. Run that again for next month and just be consistent. People seeing it, the right person will contact you when they're ready. People probably just not ready right now, but you need to set a budget for that, an advertising budget, a marketing budget, and just basically have those things running constantly.
Yeah. And which ad platform, you're saying you use Google now, or?
I use Google for one of the businesses. We now toying with it. So I can't really comment on the performance of it, but I'm pretty sure it would be pretty decent, because I think Google would have done their research to ensure that you get performance. But for me, I think TikTok works the best, boy. Yeah, I think you don't need a heavy budget for TikTok. They've made it very cost effective. I think for them is volume. And I think we get a lot of traction from TikTok. Yeah. Instagram second. Yeah.
What do people like about your TikTok videos?
What do people like? Well, it depends. For me, I use the tips, right? So I give you like nice AI tips, business tips and whatnot. And yeah, a lot of people message about that, and they seem to be very much interested in that type of content, because it's things that could help them in their business and in the workflow to make things simple, right? And again, you get a little bit of the motivation as well, so it adds as a boost. You never know, like for me, what I've learned from entrepreneurs, and I learned this from someone I looked up to, he's passed away, you know, a guy by the name of Brian Dookie. He was in the same industry as me. And he mentioned to me, as entrepreneurs, we don't have anybody to motivate us, to boost us. We have to do it for ourselves. All right? So he said the little you can do to motivate and boost someone else, yeah, just try and do it. Right? Because when you have a down day, well, I can only speak for me. There's nobody you could turn to give you that boost. You have to figure it out and get things together. So if you could be that person for somebody, I mean, it should count for something.
When you're an entrepreneur, sometimes you need the courage ready.
You need the courage ready.
Somebody to say, you know, it's not so bad. You're doing a good job. It's difficult, but you'll make it through type of thing.
Correct.
And so I could relate to what you're saying in that regard. The last thing I want to talk about with you is the future. Mm-hmm. The future and the future of Latinx Media. And let's talk a bit about what are some of the spaces, platforms that you want to go on to. And have you been thinking about that? Like, I know right now you say that TikTok has great return. Where does the podcast live? The podcast lives where?
The podcast lives on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. But in terms of performance, Instagram has been started as the highest performer. Then it moved to TikTok. Facebook is the lowest performer for us on with the podcast. And YouTube has been steadily growing.
Yeah.
Right? But for we have to, at this point in time, we want to put more structure to when we're doing episodes. And we have to work on bringing some new guests. And we want to change not just what we talk about in terms of relationships and life, but we want to add in a little bit about entrepreneurship and business, right? To just to give people a little more variety and appeal to more a wider range of audiences and listeners. Yeah.
I think, would that pivot be hard though, in terms of, because right now you're focusing a lot on personal interactions and you're going to pivot into things like business, entrepreneurship, how people should approach that and all those different things. Would it be more difficult or less difficult to start a whole new podcast?
I wouldn't say. We had the platform already, and then we have the engagement, right? I think it's just a matter of keeping people entertained, right? Because funny as it is, right? Mark and I went Green Bowl for lunch recently, and like a mature working guy was work uniform and everything, was talking to me based off of knowing me from the podcast, right? And I mean, it was amazing because he was like, hey, he's listening to it when he's driving to work and whatnot. And it's amazing to see that so much people paying attention. And sometimes, like I said, initially, I didn't think these corporate people would be interested in this type of content. But I think the content also has to give them some sort of value. So I think not all the time it has to be about personal life or relationships. Sometimes it could be about a business idea, telling you how this business owner or this entrepreneur would have started this business and why. It probably would give you a boost or an idea while you're listening, right? Because we already have the audience there who are interested in hearing me speak or another person speak. So for instance, podcasts I used to look at in UK, I started paying attention to a lot of what those guys were doing, the speakers on that podcast. I started paying attention. I started being interested in what they do outside of the podcast. And I mean, it might be that way for others who listen to our podcast.
Okay. So what you're saying to me, what I'm hearing you saying is that in how you look at this is that it is more personality driven than it is topic driven.
Yeah, I think that is the angle you want to utilize, because I know people say you want to stay in a niche, you want to stay here. But I think what I've noticed in from my experience is that a lot of people, just as I mentioned there, people seem to be interested in your life. People seem to be interested in what you do, right? So much so, even that individual knew about the podcast and he knew about the business too. So it just shows that, yeah, people somewhat get interested in what you're doing and people feel connected to you, right? So simple as I look at your stuff. And I mean, when you had reached out, I was like, hey, I know this name. And just when you came here, in my mind, I already have a version of you in my mind, like who you are, how you look. And when I seen how tall you are, I was like blown away, because in my mind, I have you, as I told you, a short guy.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, I feel like people feel connected to you because looking at you, a person on social media on a daily basis, talking to you, and somehow you feel connected to that person in some shape or fashion, you know. Right? Just, I don't know, our brains just become wired like that, right?
So let's go a little deeper into that, because I think that's a very interesting thing, because as you said, many people talk about content as needing a niche, as needing a topic. In fact, how people normally structure it, which I am also somebody who does it like that, is that you have your content pillar, your topic, and then you have varying things inside of that niche.
Yeah.
What you are proposing, or what you are saying, is that you believe in the personality-driven content. Let's go a little deeper into that. When I think about personality-driven content, I think about, and you said that people want to know about you.
Yeah.
They want to know about your life.
Yeah.
And that may be a Caribbean thing, and maybe a Trini thing, we don't know. But the big question is, where is the line between personal and private? How do you see that working out in your content?
Well, it depends on you as the content creator, what you want to show. But, I mean, people, you say it's a Caribbean thing. Yeah, well, we don't know. You assume it's a Caribbean thing. But I think it's just a people thing, you know. Because you see, I mean, it might sound bad. We look at some of those stars abroad, how they end up having stalkers and whatnot, who actually in their mind think Chris Brown with them, or Chris Brown knows who they are just off of probably interacting with them on Instagram, double clicking likes, that type of stuff. We just wired that way. We inquisitive beings. We just want to know more. And I think when, depending on what the creator gives to us, people just somewhat feel connected. So even sometimes you see those female influencers, they might be going to a party, they might be doing a get ready with me, and you go in the comments and you see all those girls talking to that influencer stating, oh yeah, girl, you look so good, fire, where did you get this dress? And they talking as if they are best friends. Sometimes they have never met that person or seen that person in real life. Yeah. So, I mean, I think human beings are just inquisitive beings, and we just very much interested in other people's lives. Mm. Yeah.
So is that the type of attention you are setting out to get?
Bits of it, because it happened indirectly. So from the podcast, you see people adding you on your personal page. And I mean, being inquisitive again, right? So I think it happened indirectly. But I mean, it somewhat works to an extent, because sometimes you might be doing cold calling, somebody know your name from the time you mention who you are. You might be going to do a meeting somewhere to meet a decision maker. The decision maker might know of you, or probably the gatekeeper might know of you, and they make the whole interaction warmer because they feel like they know you, or they know of you based off of your social media presence. Yeah.
Are you concerned that it might have the opposite effect?
Yes, it's Trinidad, and you would get the negativity. I mean, as anything in life, but Trinidad is a very small, small country, and everybody sort of knows everybody in a sense. So yes, in anything, you will get bad with the good and vice versa.
So how are you going to treat with that if it pops up? Because you mentioned earlier, I mean, none of us are Chris Brown.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make us immune from stalkers and people who might want to.
I like that question. And you know what my answer would be? I have bills to pay at the end of the month, so I can't study the negative aspect. I have bills to pay at the end of the month, real bills. So I had to do what I have to do to ensure that I can increase my revenue and I can pay them bills at the end of the month. Yeah, and you should make this entire clip and send it to me to use.
So would you say that's the ultimate goal, to bring revenue to the business?
Somewhat. But I mean, certain things, like for me with the content creation aspect, I like helping somebody who is shy on camera, doesn't know how to create content for their business and wants to. I like that aspect. Like I like helping you, guiding you, telling you how to talk, telling you how to look at the camera, how to move, and how to bring what you're trying to say across to the audience. And then when you do the videos, you get the edits, you put it up, and you get the traction that you're looking for. Like, and you say, oh gosh, I'm so thankful, and yeah. Like, I like that. Yeah. That for me, with the content creation arm, that is what I enjoy.
Is there anyone who has come up to you and said, hey, what you said there has been real, has really changed my life?
Yeah. I got a couple of those. I got a couple of those. Sometimes you get messages as well. People message and they be like that. And it's like, sometimes I'd be like, sometimes I'd be a little bit overwhelmed because it's like, I probably downplay what I do or what I say in my head. But again, like we would have mentioned before, you don't know what somebody may be going through in their day or their life at that point in time, and that your video or your content may have just helped them get through a period.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, people do come and say, yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so just two more things before we wrap up here. We know one of the major challenges that somebody like you who runs a business or even a professional with a career has when it comes to creating stuff is just time. How do you make time for this thing?
Boy, how to make the time? Because the bills at the end of the month. But how I make time? Boy, I just get up like 4 a.m. and sometimes I go in bed 12 a.m. finishing emails and organizing stuff for the next day. And wake up 4, try to do a little bit of stretching. I do more mobility work now for as exercise. And then I just start my day, right? And I try to get a head start because your day time could just blow in two twos is evening. And you ain't get anything done. So I have to start my day early. And I just had to make the time. Sometimes I be overwhelmed and I need to switch off, right? Like yesterday was one of them days I was like, oh, because every time is a work message, an email, and then in our business, you're dealing with suppliers, and some of the suppliers in Turkey, they're in China, and it's like the time difference, they more message in the nighttime when you're winding down, but that's their daytime, yeah. And that's when you could communicate with them to get things done so that they could organize and prepare things when it's your daytime the next day. Yeah. So it's a 24/7 thing, it don't stop. It just be overwhelming sometimes. Sometimes I have clients messaging you, all of us, to get things done. But you had to find the time, and I mean, you had to make the time for it, yeah. And I mean, again, getting yourself organized early, it gives you a little headway.
Yeah. Have you ever had to push through and make content while feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah. Plenty times. Plenty times. But it comes with the territory. And again, you gotta pay them bills at the end of the month.
That seems to be a theme. You gotta pay them bills at the end of the month.
Yeah, no, that's a reality, boy. That's a reality.
Yeah, it seems like that's a big motivator. Which is nothing wrong with that. That's a big motivator inside. Okay, so let's finish off by you sharing like three things that you've learned that you can share with other professionals, entrepreneurs, in how is the best way to create video content, even if you're feeling overwhelmed, even if you're running a business, even if you have limited time. What are some of the three things that works for you?
Okay, the first one, sorry to sound like I'm repeating, remember them bills at the end of the month. That's one. If that don't scare you and motivate you, I don't know what else. And I mean, we in AI, right? This age of AI. So I think let ChatGPT become your best friend. ChatGPT would help you with anything. And I mean, if you have the budget, spend a little extra and pay for the upgrade, right? That one is a bit wiser. It helps you a bit more, and you get the information instantly. Because recently, I was hearing somebody telling me that they asked ChatGPT for something, and it tell them it'll produce the data the next day or something like that. And I was like,
oh,
my ChatGPT will do that. And then I realized it's the free version.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, yeah, for me, like, sometimes I need information now. Once I punch it in, I need it now. So I can't wait that next day because time is money, in a sense. So yeah, ChatGPT, let that be your friend, because any idea you have, any assistance you need, it will help you. It will also help you with creating your content and guiding you to make it easier, right? Because I mean, we may not all have the ideas or the creative ideas. It's just there to guide you and give you that boost, right? And what I would say is reading books. Right, from other business owners, entrepreneurs, I think reading is key. Like learning what other people did to be where they are, what motivates them. I think that's key. Read and get books. I'm not against fantasy books. I think if you're doing your reading, it needs to be something in your field or from someone who has catapulted their career in whatever field it is that you have of interest. And motivational books, personal development, those are key things that I think would help any person, whether in business or in real life, right? I think those are three things that they could utilize.
Great. So where can people find you online if they want to check out more of what you do, Kendall?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Kendall St. Louis, KendallStLouis. And you can find me on TikTok, Mr. Ladnick, MRLADNEK. Right, and on Instagram, Mr. Ladnick Official. I don't sell crypto. I would never message you and tell you to invest in any crypto scheme. There are fake pages that are impersonating me, so just be mindful. I would never do that. I'm not interested in crypto and whatnot. So
that's a problem right now, right?
Just put it on it. No, because it's happening. Like this week, I get about 5 calls about an impersonator, and it's people I know, and they're like, why you didn't just call me? And I'm like, hey, that's not me. But they do any profile so good that people get in catch. Cause so like for the TikTok, my one is Mr. Ladnick, and they would have made one called Mr. Ladnick 1.
Yes.
So if you're not keen to noticing that little difference, you'll get caught.
And they're taking your content.
And they're taking the content, yeah. And they have plenty followers too. There are plenty of views on the videos too, so I don't know how they're making it happen. Looks, the profiles look real, but they block me, so I can't see it, yes. Right? But the profiles look real.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I mean, you are one of the victims. I've seen several other people mm-hmm. come out and say that. So
you know what it is to be, I mean, it hasn't happened, but you know what it is for somebody to get caught. And then they see me somewhere and they come and approach me thinking I scam them.
That's a dangerous talk.
Yeah.
that's what you don't want. You don't want that at all.
Yeah.
Thank you for making it all the way to the end of this episode of Useful Creator. I really do appreciate you spending your time with me. If you enjoyed today's conversation, I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn. You can find the link in the show notes. And while you're here, check out any of the other resources or links that we mentioned in this episode. And if you'd like to go deeper and find out more about how you can create useful content, you can subscribe to my newsletter at jumabannister.com, where I share more insights, strategies, and stories to help you become a more confident, consistent, skillful video creator.
The Useful Creator Podcast is a Relate production.